Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Mark chapter 10 gives us a picture of 3 days in Jesus' life as he makes his way toward Jerusalem for the last time before he ascends the cross. Following closely are his disciples, as well as a large group of people who were going to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. As the events of those days unfold, we see different people, some with genuine need, and others with evil intent, come to Jesus with questions, some direct, some implied. Some of these questions and Jesus' answers can be rather hard to listen to. Others are very encouraging, but all direct us to the Savior who seeks and saves the lost. Others are very encouraging, but all direct us to our wonderful Savior. That's us, people who were lost but have been found and who now seek to live lives pleasing to our God. The question we heard this morning asked by the Pharisee, is it lawful? At first, this question has a good ring to it. People who are concerned about law keeping usually have some knowledge of God's law. This law was first written in the hearts at the time of creation. But sin corrupted our ability to reliably judge right from wrong. God made it clear by inscribing the law on stone tablets and giving them to his people through Moses. These laws, the Ten Commandments, aren't just a set of arbitrary rules, but a clear picture of the will of God. So the question, is it lawful, is a good question to ask. We all want and need clarification. The people who brought this question even went to the right person. Jesus is, after all, the perfect source of understanding the law. In his perfect life, he fulfilled the law for us. And the second person of the Trinity, he knows the mind and the will of God perfectly. So going to Jesus is the right thing to do. But those who brought the question came with bad intentions and wrong motives. They didn't come seeking truth, but to test Jesus. They were going to bring a question that would trip him up, cause him to fail and to fall. The power and love of Jesus was causing people to question the Pharisees' style of keeping the law. But they thought if they could make Jesus look foolish, they could again be certain of additional respect coming to them because of him. Keeping the law was serious business. They devoted their lives to this mission. But for them, the law was not a tool for condemning the guilty and taking pride in their own accomplishment. This was much different from Jesus' use of the law. He knew the proper use of the law seeks the good of the sinner by revealing sin so the gospel can deliver God's love. At one point, Jesus went even further as to ridicule the Pharisees' way of life, referring to them as whitewashed tombs, people who looked good on the outside, but dead on the inside. Their goodness was a veneer, and a thin one at that. The Pharisees realized that if Jesus continued to talk this way without anyone challenging him, he might just persuade the people that they were just guilty of breaking the law as much as anyone else. And if they couldn't keep the law, how could anyone be expected to? For them, the law was a way of salvation, and they saw Jesus as a threat, not only to them, but to all their people, for he was promoting a manner of salvation that they couldn't understand or accept. The answer is, let's trap Jesus. Do something which will make the people quit listening to him. The situation they set up was the problem of divorce. If there's a no-win topic to speak on, it's divorce, not just in our day, but in Jesus' day as well. If you agree that there are valid reasons at times for divorce, you're accused of being too liberal, and if you take the position that divorce should only be the last option for God's people, you're said to be insensitive and legalistic. So the Pharisees came to Jesus with the question, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? If the Pharisees knew the scriptures, they already knew the answer to that question. It's clear that divorce was not God's intent. God's will from the beginning was one man, one woman, one flesh, for life. However, after Israel's repeated sinning, God, through Moses, allowed a provision for divorce. That made divorce legal, in the narrowest sense of the word. But when John the Baptist came on the scene, he got himself in hot water by condemning the ruler of Judea, Herod Antipas, for divorcing his wife and marrying his brother's ex-wife. That condemnation lost John his head. The test for Jesus was this. If Jesus says, no, divorce is not lawful, he falls into the trap of disagreeing with Moses, the most highly revered leader in Israel's history. And anyone who would disagree with Moses, the man of God, couldn't be a true prophet. On the other hand, if he said, yes, divorce is lawful, he falls into the trap of immorality. Either way, the Pharisees thought Jesus was trapped. But Jesus is able to take them to Scripture and show them the intent of God for marriage and also demonstrate the depth of sin in our lives. Jesus answers the question with a question. What did Moses command you? And they answered by saying that Moses allowed them to write a dismissal of divorce and they could divorce their spouse. Then Jesus quickly points out that God permitted this law because of the evil which lies in the hearts of people. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law. Then he expresses the original blueprint for marriage by reminding them that God originally said in Genesis and adding, therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. By setting this before the Pharisees and by reminding his disciples of this when they pulled him aside later, Jesus clearly shows that God's intent for marriage, that they should last the whole life of the marriage partners, and that divorce is a result of sin on the parts of people who are married. But putting aside the issue of divorce for a moment, the question, is it lawful, still tempts us. When we ask this question, what we are really asking is, what can I get away with and still be in a right relationship with God? But that's clearly the wrong question. The truth is, we can't get away with any sin and still have that right relationship. The legality of certain actions is to beg the bigger question of who we are before God. We are sinners, every one of us, lawbreakers. Everyone, even the most sincere, fails miserably in keeping the commandments of God. It's beyond our capacity because unholy people cannot keep holy things holy. But Jesus can, and Jesus did. Only he was able to fulfill the law of God perfectly. The reality is divorce is a grievous sin, period. But it isn't just those who divorce who break God's desire for a holy estate of marriage. Spouses who show disrespect for one another, who abuse one another emotionally or physically, who manipulate one another by withholding the rights due to another in the marriage bed. To put it short, all who fail to live completely and always by their marriage vows sin. God's law has no loopholes. So, if our desire is to find out how we might discover what is or isn't lawful in this or that life circumstance, we're on the wrong track. Rather, we're to look to Jesus, who did what we were unable to do. Jesus was the only one who was and is able to live the law perfectly. And he gives us his perfection as a wonderful free gift. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's incredible. And that's the truth. In Christ, we are made perfect. In Christ, we are made law keepers, even though we don't keep the law. Connected to Christ as a branch is to the vine, we are enabled to bring his kingdom to life in our lives as he helps us live as his people. What we have to get straight is that holiness doesn't come to us through the law. It doesn't come by striving to figure out what is lawful and what isn't. Rather, holiness is a gracious gift from a gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's rather surprising that Mark shares with us directly following the exchange with those who would strive to become perfect by the law. After telling us about the Pharisees and the disciples, who were so concerned about the law, we see Jesus with the little children. And as great truth is delivered to all of us, do we want our lives of faith to be simple or more carefree, more joyful? Then come to the Lord like a little child. Come to the Savior with trust and confidence. Come to God with wide open eyes of wonder and amazement at his gracious love. And Jesus will give to all who have this childlike faith the gift of acceptance, forgiveness, and the crown of life. The question really shouldn't be, is it lawful? What can I get away with? The question should always be, why me, O Lord? Why do you love me so much? Why do you forgive me every time I fail to live your law? The answer to those questions is always, because you are my child, because I have made you mine, because I love you and will always love you. As we ask the right questions, we will receive answers that will truly help us. Sometimes we will hear things which are hard to hear as our need for repentance is highlighted. But always we will hear God's words of love as he reminds us that there is forgiveness in the one who lived the life that we could not and who gives us the assurance of his love as we turn to him. Amen.